Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the sports scene. This is Ian Mackey. We're having some technical difficulties today. My co-hosts are Vance Owens. We're trying to get him online. But while we're working on that, man, we want to break down the upcoming NFL season. We're going to pick, you know, who's going to win it all, the Tom Brady situation. Also, the Williams sisters, man, they played tonight. Serena won. You know, Venus gave her a good run. We're going to discuss the sisters. Also, we're going to talk about some NBA, what we normally talk about. But, you know, we're going to break down this whole sports ramping up. You know, we got the NBA season fastly approaching. We're just going to talk about sports in general, baby. We're going to get it popping tonight. So let's get it started. We got Vance, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you?
We had some technical difficulties. But we're going to break down the NFL season. Let's start there, Vance. We said we're going to talk about the NFL now. NFL season vastly approaching, games coming on Thursday, the Patriots and the Steelers. Vance, but before we break down this NFL season, man, let's discuss your picks for the Super Bowl, man. Before we break down the season or whatever, the game Thursday, who you got going to the Super Bowl, man? I got my pick who's going to the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's a tough question starting off, man. The season hadn't even begun yet. I need a little time, but off the top of my head, in the NFC, I go with Seattle. And in the AFC, I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to make this Pittsburgh year this year.
You know what? Great minds think alike, man. Great minds must think alike because I got Pittsburgh playing the Cardinals, man, a rematch. You know, when instead of Kurt Warner, oh, man, you got Carlton Palmer, man. I feel like, you know, this is the Cardinals year, man. I'm a big fan of Bruce Arians. I think he did a great job when he coached the coach when Chuck Pagano had cancer or whatnot. But, man, I feel like this is going to be like Tomlin's year to get the Steelers back, and this is going to be Bruce Arians' year to get the Cardinals to the Super Bowl. But this time the Cardinals win. Bruce Arians, no, Ben Roethlisberger, well, even though the offense has changed, he knows his tendencies, what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do. And I feel like Cardinals going to win the Super Bowl. But outside of that, man, let's break down the game Thursday and NFL season in general. Vance, you got Tom Brady coming back. He ain't going to be suspended. Roger Goodell, God bless his heart. He tried his best, you know, to get the he said he didn't do anything bad, but we all know that Tom Brady had something to do with that. But Steelers, without Le'Veon Bell and Brian, Vance, how do you feel about their chances of winning Thursday?
Well, considering that Tom Brady is coming back and the Steelers are missing two of their best players, I don't really think they're going to do anything. I don't think they're going to win the game. It might be a competitive game, but I think the Patriots will win the game, pull away in the fourth quarter. But it might be a competitive game for a little while, but I just think with their two stars out, or two of their best players, it does not say two of their stars, but two of their best players out, it's going to be hard for Pittsburgh offense to pick up. But once those stars come back, and the team start rolling, I think they're going to have a good year. That's why I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right, man. I'm a big time Mike Tomlin fan, but they lost Pouncey too. So I feel like, you know, the Patriots, Tom Brady, after that, he won the case, they're just going to show out. They're just going to show out Thursday night. He's going to, you know, but that's going to die down as the season goes on. But I feel like right away they're going to back Tom with the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to be there at the end, but I think Pittsburgh, their number is done for the night. I mean, too many injuries, too many people out. Your best running back is out. You know, they're Pittsburgh, they're going to fight. But, man, the Patriots are going to be too much for them. But I don't know, man, the NFL season is actually approaching. I kind of like the Texans. I don't know what they're doing with their quarterback, but I watch Hard Knocks, so I'm invested. Like, I feel like every team should do Hard Knocks. Every NFL should require every team to do Hard Knocks. because I get invested. I get invested. I get involved. Like, I want them to do good. I watch the show. I want them to do good, man. I really want to see the Texans do well. Clowney and J.J. Watt, man.
J.J. Watt, yeah. If Clowney and J.J. Watt can play pretty good, I mean, Clowney and J.J. Watt can, you know, have the type of chemistry that we think they're going to have, they probably will do pretty good. Do I think they still going to end up in the Super Bowl? I really don't think so because of the offensive situation, the quarterback situation. You don't know how long Arian Foster, you know, he's in and out of lineup. Who is the second wide receiver? Yes, we know they got Hobson, but who is the second wide receiver? Who is the tight end? I mean, they got so many questions on offense. The defense is pretty solid, you know, starting with the front line, J.J. Watt, Clowney. You got Wolford. You got a good linebacker core. The secondary, they got some good players back there, Kareem Jackson, but who else do they have? I just want to see what the offense, really, I want to see what the Texas offense going to do. And then I can say, you know, with some kind of confidence,
I feel like the Texans should have used the Ravens blueprint in 2000. Run the ball, protect, no bank, no mistakes, let defense win you the games. I don't know if they got that type of defense like the Ravens in 2000 and winning the Super Bowl. But, I mean, that's the blueprint I would run right now with them. But, man, I wanted to pick the Colts, you know. I live in Indianapolis. Not saying I'm necessarily a Colts fan. I live here. But I don't trust Chuck Pagano to make the adjustment for them winning. I just don't see it. I don't, you know, they're probably one of the most talented teams in the NFL. Like, hands down, top to bottom, like offense and wide receiver. They have a decent running back now with Frank Gore, decent talent, tight end with Allen. Defense is pretty straight. Vontae Davis has really turned the corner. When people thought he wasn't going to be any good, he really turned the corner and made himself a top-tier corner. Their defense is pretty good, man. They got a Langford. They got some pieces, man. But I just don't trust the coaching. That's my thing with the coach. I just don't trust the coaching down the stretch to make the adjustment to win games. I trust Andrew Luck. He's headed to the elite five quarterbacks of this era. And if he continue to push and become greater, he could be one of the greatest of all time. I know some people that listen to the show are like, what? And you're talking about the Colts in a good way, you know? But they're going to have to protect Luck. They're going to have to do better with the running game. But, man, they're just so talented. I just don't trust the coach.
Well, speaking of the coach, what about the coach defense? Who do they have on defense that are going to make you say they can make it to their next level? Because I really can't name not one player on the coach defense.
They got some pieces. I ain't saying they got the elite pieces, but they got some pieces that if you can coach it right, they could be an elite type of team as a whole. Not so much defense and offense, but as a whole, they could be like, I mean, they're in the top five best teams in the NFL right now. Hands down.
But on defense, they have, like you said, they got Vontae Davis. Yeah, they have Vontae Davis. But other than him, who do they have on defense that will scare you? Who do they have on defense that say, we can't go his way, we got to go the other way? Maybe one person, other than Davis.
They don't have like a guy that says, yo, we can't go this way. But as a collection, they have some great mid-level guys who they just going to play well. I promise you, you're going to be shocked to see coach defense. Now, I mean, we're going to talk about the AFC, man. Let's focus on the NFC because all we got is Seattle and the Cardinals, man. I really don't see another team. I don't see Carolina. I don't see Atlanta. I don't see New Orleans. I mean, I don't see Tampa Bay. The South, the NFC South is probably one of the worst conferences. Will be one of the worst conferences this year. Point blank.
Well, speaking of NFC South, I think the NFC South might be one. I mean, they'll have two good teams coming out of the NFC South. I think they might have. Atlanta, we don't know what they're going to do. If they can get the defense straight, the offense is going to be pretty good this year. I mean, if they get all their players healthy. But the Saints has a good offense. The Saints' offense has been good for the last couple of years. I know they lost Jimmy Graham. But the same, you cannot.
They lost their main guy. That's your main guy.
Hey, but you cannot count out Drew Brees in the Saints' offense. So I think the Saints going to be in the running. I think Atlanta going to be they're going to be pretty good this year. Now, Carolina, through all the injuries and all the turnover on their team, I don't know what they're going to do. Tampa Bay, they're about 2 years away. So I think the Saints and Atlanta might be good coming out the NFC South. Now, I wouldn't be upset if either one of them do anything, but for right now,
The best NFC South gonna do is eight and eight. I feel like the teams are gonna go come out. Probably Cowboys, the Eagles, Green Bay, Seattle, then the Cardinals. Man, Minnesota has a shot. Now it's a slim shot, but they have a shot of making the playoffs.
Well, Green Bay is always going to be there. I mean, I would pick Green Bay over the Cardinals just because of the quarterback play. And the Green Bay defense plays pretty well. I mean, they have some good players on their defense. The Cardinals, you don't know what. Like you said, Carson Palmer, old man Carson Palmer, you don't know what's going to happen to Carson Palmer. He might get hurt. You know he gets injured in another game. So he might get hurt, and then they have a backup quarterback. So, I mean, you're taking a chance picking Arizona to me. When you got other teams that's proven, that's been there, Seattle, the Green Bay. Like I said, even Dallas.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals, I don't think so.
Listen, the Cardinals are a tough team. No flies on. They got a decent run game. Wide receivers getting better. Brown's going to be really good. If their offense could match the eliteness of their defense, man, even they could be mediocre. Just think, they didn't have Carson Palmer the majority of last year down the stretch because of an injury. Now, imagine if you put him back with that defense. All they needed was a quarterback to move the chain, score some points, some field goals. That's my pick, the Cardinals. They're gonna show you something. They're going to really show you something. Now, I'm saying is, now that the NFL made final cuts, Tim Tebow, man, I thought he was going to make the Eagles, especially when they traded Matt Barkley. I thought Tim Tebow has made a team. But he got cut, man. So do you think this is the end for Tim Tebow?
Yeah, I think Tim Tebow better run back to the SEC Network because it's over. I mean, that was
I liked him on the SEC Network. I really did like
him. I liked him
on the
SEC Network. I mean, maybe he can go on some missions or something, but his football career is over with. I think he needs to just go.
I wouldn't say it's over.
He tried. I mean, it just didn't work out for him. The Eagles was his last chance. I mean, he had all the chances to get. He played pretty good in Denver.
Man, listen, I just feel like, Tim Tebow, there's a spot for everybody in the NFL. As Charles James would say from Hard Knocks. And there's a spot for Tim Tebow. Now, I don't know where that is, but there's a spot for everybody, man. There's a truly a spot for everybody. But, I mean, he gave it all he got. And I'm a big Tim Tebow guy, so I feel like, I enjoy him on SEC Network. I feel like that's the best place for him. His career will last long. In the SEC, he's a god. Just man, Civil War. Listen, that money going to last way longer than NFL money. And you ain't got to take no hit.
He ain't got to worry about getting injured. I think he just give it up. I mean, I know it's hard to give up your dream. He's been dreaming. He's been playing football most of his life. I understand that. But, hey, I got a great job, too, so time for him to get one.
Listen, the SEC Network ain't a regular job. And I would take it every day of the week. If they offer me the job right now, I'm leaving whatever I have behind. And if I have to sleep with all the equipment is just to do with the SEC Network each weekend, I would do it. I am here for that.
That's true.
For a whole year, I would do it. I mean, sometimes God gives you an opportunity. And I know Tim Tebow believes in God. I believe in God, too. God's trying to tell him something. Like, I think he needs to take this SEC Network, and he can be – is new. He could be the head of SEC, the face of SEC Network for a very long time, man. He could really hold it down. And I hope Tim Tebow does take that opportunity and run with it. Seriously. He's going to be on ESPN. I mean, it's a great move for him. It's a great move. I feel like it's a no-brainer. But some people want to keep fighting for their dream. And if he still feel like he can be an NFL quarterback, man, who are we to say he can't? You know?
I mean, he did improve, though. I watched a couple preseason games, and him throwing the ball, his throwing motion, he did improve. But I guess, you know, for some reason, he just didn't do enough. I thought, just like you, when they traded for Barkley away, I just knew he was going to make team, get their quarterback. But, you know, Kelly said they were just going to go with two quarterbacks now. Maybe they'll bring him back. I don't know, but like you said, he always got the SEC network to fall back on. So, and that's not, you know, that's a good job to fall back on. So, good luck to him. He tried.
All right, all right. Now, man, we're going to switch sports altogether from the hard, physical, manly sport of football to more of endurance, strength of will, mind. It's all on you. Tennis. The Williams sisters played today. Serena beat her sister in three sets. Venus played really well in the second set. Venus, I don't want to discuss the match in general, just how great these two young ladies are, like where they come from. Everybody know they came from Compton or whatever, you know. Compton's making a really good run from the movie to these two women. I mean, like what they say, the roast. Rose and cement, man, these two ladies are some beautiful roses. And they changed. We talk about how much Tiger's changed golf. But if you can take your mind off Tiger and think about what these women did for tennis, not so much, you know, brought a whole bunch of black people to tennis, but the culture of tennis, what people wear, the outfits, they changed the fashion to an extent. I remember Serena doing a cat suit just blew the internet up. Like, she wasn't naked. Like Kim K, no disrespect to Kim K or Kanye. I don't want Kanye to say anything about it. But, you know, she just changed the culture of tennis and made people watch it more. I feel like tennis was, like, when Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras there, it was, you know, but they really elevated the game to another level.
Yeah, you can say they elevate the game a little, but on one hand, the only way they did bring more attention to tennis is because these girls actually can play. I mean, you had your own tennis players like Martina Navratilova, Chrissy Elsie. They played good, but, you know, they was great players, but they didn't have that, you know, that kind of style that, you know, Serena and Venus came with. You know, it was a different type of feel they brought to the game, and the attitude they brought to the game. So I think it got more people into it. You know, like you say with Tiger with golf. Tiger had more people watching golf than ever because of just him being different. These girls, I mean, not only did Tiger play, but he was different. He was black, and you name another black golf player. I can't really name one. I mean, it's been a couple of black tennis player, before Venus Serena, but they brought this kind of style, this kind of swag to the game that, you know, it made it must-see TV. So who knows who's going to be the next great tennis player to come behind these girls. That's what's next.
Yeah.
Madison Keys might be it, but we'll see how it goes from there.
But I'm just really, like, you know, impressed by what these ladies have done over the years and how they carry themselves with class. Like, you've never heard any bad rumors about them with drugs or whatever. I mean, more than anything, I think that they took time off of fashion or whatnot. I think that's probably some people, like, at one point they didn't take it so seriously, but some people are really out of tennis by the time they're 30, 31, like, they're not in their prime. She's playing her best tennis at 32. 32, man. In the tennis world, that's like, what, 150 years old, you know, the tennis players, but she really, her and her sister really changed the game. Like, long term, and when you look back on it, you're like, man, they really did something great. Like, their dad was probably tough on them for a reason, because he probably seen greatness in them. But, I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see two strong women. Not, I mean, the color matters, yes, because they're black and they're playing a sport that's not, you know, we don't see a lot of tennis courts in the hood. I'm sorry. I grew up in a rough area. It wasn't tennis courts where I live, not at first. So, you know, for them to play tennis and become dominant at it and then win the Wimbledon and win Grand Slams, the French Open, and then just expose Caucasians and people of other races to how great these beautiful black women are, because we the great black women in music and other things, you know, that's more of a real life, but to show black women in a positive light, we don't see enough of that in the world. And the majority of the world's full of women. And in our culture, we don't see that enough of embodiment of good black women, not naked, not gyrating, just working hard to being great.
I mean, it's a good point there. He did make a good point. Yeah, but do you think she gonna win the U.S. Open though?
I mean, barring injury, barring anything else, she has a great chance. I mean, injuries always play a factor. You know, God willing, Lord be willing, the priest don't lie. Just pure will and talent alone, she can. I feel like after she beat her sister, I don't see anybody beating her. I just don't. I don't. She's playing the best she's ever played, and I don't feel like nobody can stop her, man.
I don't think she has four more sets to win. She can just win straight. She has four more sets to win. I mean, everybody else she's played, she's kind of dominated. All four of these players left. So we'll see who she plays next in the semifinals, and she has a final left. But like you say, barring any injuries, I just don't see nobody standing away. I think tonight's match against her sister was the toughest match that she'll face, you know, for the rest of the final. So I think she'll win, and I think she'll stand alone beside Steffi Graf of winning all the championships in 1 year, one calendar year, and be the only two women to ever done that before. So I think she has a good chance.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, these last minutes, man, let's talk about what we love to talk about, the NBA. Now, the season's around the corner. You know, we all know the season's coming up in October. So it's like a month or so away, a month and some days. But the Morris twins, man. Let's talk about the Morris twins. Markieff Morris demanded a public trade on Twitter, man. He's like, I no longer see – my future is not in Phoenix. The NBA fined him because they said detrimental to the NBA. Like, I don't understand Markieff and his brother. I just don't understand. Like, y'all grown men, y'all don't have to play together. Even though y'all twins, look, the NBA don't have to – it ain't about y'all. This is not Markieff Morris's NBA. It is the National Basketball Association. There's more than y'all. And if I'm in the NBA, I'll kick them both out the league. I am against you trying to demand I got to play with my brother or – I shouldn't be in Phoenix. Bruh, you make good money to play basketball. Marquis and Marcus, this is a message from me. I hope y'all get it. Grow the F up. Just grow up. You don't have to play together. It's not a rule to say, hey, they got to play together. I'm just over.
I'm thinking that. I think they need to grow up too. Markieff had clearly played much better than his brother. I don't know if you think his brother can't play without him, but, you know, he just needs to grow up. I mean, he's on a good team. Phoenix, they got some good draft picks. I think, you know, if Phoenix time, I ain't saying they're going to win an NBA championship. I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs, but they are doing – they're going to be a better team than our next year. His brother, he needs to change the scene. He can't be on his brother coattail all the time. Marcus needs to go and step out and be whatever he's going to be in the NBA on his own. I mean, he cannot keep following his brother around. You know, he was in what was he at first? He was with Philadelphia. And he traded to Phoenix. play with his brother now. Phoenix, they got rid of him and traded him to Detroit. Now both of them upset. Hey, like you say, deal with it. It's the NBA. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. People would, if so many people line up, you know, just to play basketball, would love to play for nothing. And they play for money.
Just to play in the NBA. Just to play in the NBA.
That's right. So I think they just need to man up. I mean, hey, beat your
brother. And Mark
is
in Detroit now. Mark is in Detroit. And Detroit don't play that. Detroit's a hard knock town. Well, you won't play with your brother, they will get on you. I know Marcus said he's going to be a man and play, but we've already seen like how y'all act when y'all don't play together. Like y'all like some girls. We'll take our ball and go home if y'all don't put us on the same team. Like, listen, this is what I don't like about twins. If I ever had twins, they go on a different high school. They gonna play against each other. Y'all gotta understand the meaning of competition. Y'all been playing together so long that this is a buddy system. This ain't buddy system. This is winner take all. When to go home. And I'm over it. Y'all make millions of dollars to make horrible decisions. Fans, also, man, the little Euro league is going on for the Olympics, the Euro FIBA. And then also, man, the America FIBA, man, Wiggins has been doing pretty good, man. Canada's balling, man. I keep telling people that. I said this a while ago and went on a talk show on our show. But I'm telling Canada is on the way up. Canada is talented. Canada and Australia have, like, some of the best young talent that's coming up. Not so much that's in NBA yet. We got one that's going to LSU, Ben Simmons, Wiggins. You got Andrew Bennett that plays for Canada. Tristan Thompson, Corey Joseph, they play for Canada. Man, Canada's starting to become a really good. If you watch down the line, Canada's going to be a really talented team. Really talented team.
Yeah, I think Canada's going to be pretty good. But you're talking about a couple of marginal NBA players. I mean, yeah, they got Wiggins and, you know, Tristan Thompson. But the rest of them are marginal NBA players. Do I think they're going to win the gold? No, I don't think they're going to win the gold anytime. So they're still going to have to go to the United States. You still got Argentina. Like you said, Australia is pretty good, so we'll see. But do I think they're getting better? Oh, yeah, they're getting much better. Yeah. In a couple of years, they might win a silver. But that's as far as I go with Canada.
I feel like they can challenge for the silver right now. I think Argentina's older. They're falling out. They don't have the same amount of talent as they did. They only have one Gasol now, basically. I think Powell is pretty much done. You know, he's done all he can do for Spain. For Spain. And Marcus all plays for Spain, yeah. But I feel like Spain and Argentina, like they had their run. Like they're a little older, you know. The next year, the Olympics next year, they'll be a year older. And then a lot of these players, especially Marcus all, you know, he may sit out. He may sit out because, you know, he's making that big time NBA money. He won't be ready for the regular season. That wear and tear in the playoffs on your body for bigs. I just feel like Canada's on the way up. They're young, they're talented, they have some really young players coming up. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see young countries come up, young, talented, and that's close. Like, Canada's close. Australia isn't close at all. But Australia's getting more talented. Man, I can't wait for next year. I'm just very excited to see these young teams come together. Like, one day they may be able to challenge the United States talent-wise. They have some pieces now, but they don't have enough to get them over the hump. But about what I think.
Well, what do you think about the Tristan Thompson deal?
Did he sign a deal?
No, he didn't sign a deal yet. But what do you think about the offer, the $80 million?
I mean, they didn't all the. I mean, I feel like it's too much for Tristan. I feel like I would have took 70. But Tristan wants the max, man. I mean, I don't. That situation is getting ugly. In Cleveland, and
but Tristan,
you just don't know.
Well, Tristan is not a max player. Let's be for real. I mean, take Tristan out.
NBA money
going
up. The NBA money's going up. So
I understand that the NBA money's going up.
In terms of money, it would be like a second tier player. So yes, Tristan Thompson is a second tier player as far as rebounding. And all that other stuff, yes. But they're paying Kevin Love to do the same thing. Now, what if Kevin Love goes down again? listen, Cleveland played their best when Kevin Love went down. You've seen a grittier, tougher team. Maybe if Tristan Thompson becomes more talented, and he has it. He has the talent in him. He can knock down a mid-range jump shot a little better. Then, yes, he's worth 80. Would I pay him 80? Yes. With the NBA cap going up, yes. Pay the luxury tax. You're in Cleveland. You don't listen, ain't much to do in Cleveland besides Cleveland football, Cleveland, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Listen, if you're Dan Gilbert, pay the money. You're filling up the stands. You're selling tickets. The ticket prices are going up by 20 to 30%. Everything's a sellout. You're selling out all your apparel. Man, pay the man. You're making money head over fist right now, hand over fist. And you got LeBron. Just pay the man. You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back.
I say let him go. You got Vergeau coming back. Vergeau can do the same thing Tristan Thompson do. A little bit more hustle to me. I mean, Tristan Thompson is maxed out. He is not maxed out. He's maxed out as a player.
Vergeau's behind him.
Maybe so.
135 years old.
Hey, Vergeau is not that old. Vergeau, I mean, Tristan Thompson has maxed out as a player. That's as good as he's going to get. He's as good as he's going to get. He's a max player. He's as good as he's going to get. Tristan Thompson on another team. If he want to go to Toronto, I will let him go. You can find another Tristan Thompson anywhere. Tristan Thompson is not
only
going to
get better. You're drunk. Tristan Thompson's going to get better. He's not mad. He's only like 25, man.
I don't care if he's
only like
34. He's maxed out. He's not a max player. He has maxed out as a player.
That's not even a max deal now. That's like an old max deal. No, he's not even worth that much. Tristan Thompson got worth that much. Maybe 50. So you say Tristan Thompson or Draymond Green? That's what you're saying now. Who would you rather have, Tristan Thompson or Draymond Green? I don't know. Depends on the system. Depends on the system. So Draymond Green can adapt to any system.
He
lies. No, he can only play with Golden State. I don't care what y'all say about Draymond Green. He's nice. He ain't that nice.
I'm not a Draymond Green fan. All I'm saying is Draymond Green can adapt. Tristan Thompson can't adapt.
No.
Draymond Green has proved he can adapt. He can play the three and the four.
We're talking about teams now. He played in a system. We're talking about, can you put him on another team and can he do what he do on another team? Hell no.
So you put Tristan Thompson on another team, and without a superstar, they're going to get the ball. Who going to get double team out there? Yeah, he's going to rebound. He's going to rebound. But is he going to score any buckets? Can you go to him in the clutch? No, you can't.
Can you go to Draymond in the clutch?
He might get you a bucket or two in the clutch. A bucket or two. But Tristan and I will get you one bucket.
You mean when they got to help off of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry?
Hey, what you doing with LeBron? You helping off LeBron and Tristan Thompson open. Oh, he getting a rebound because it's a man coming down from trying to help out LeBron. And Tristan Thompson not ready to turn around by
LeBron keeps throwing up. LeBron been throwing up bricks. Who gets you those extra shots so LeBron can get more points?
LeBron did two men ran at him. That's why.
Tristan Thompson moved over to help LeBron. Draymond Green and Tristan Thompson should be in the same price range. Whatever Draymond get, Tristan should get. To me, just Draymond Green can knock down a better three, but he's playing a different system. He's playing a system where he's capable of shooting threes. He's able to play in that system. But let's be real. If you put Draymond Green in Toronto, Boston, anywhere else,
he's going to be the same player. He'll have a 10-point game.
And he make about $80 million?
Yeah, I think he's overpaid. I think both of them, and I think what Tristan wants is ridiculous, and I think Draymond Green is overpaid. But Draymond Green, he can say he has a championship by the name now, so.
He
fits the team and what they want to do. But guess what? I mean, is he overpaid?
So
I wouldn't pay Draymond Green. At least Cleveland management knows that. Why even pay Tristan Thompson this type of money? And you know he's not even worth that much.
Listen, he's worth that money. Because guess what? Who's the most injured players on that team? And
Kyrie and Kevin Love.
And Anderson Varejao.
True.
When last time you seen Anderson Varejao play a game? Think about that for a moment. Think about that. It's been like 2 years. See, and that's why you got to play Tristan Thompson. That is one of the things. He hasn't missed a game since he's been a Cavs. And he's averaged 10 and 10 since he's been there. And he's got less minutes in the last two seasons, and he's still averaging 10 and 10.
He averaged 10 and 10 before LeBron got there. I mean, he did good in the playoffs. He had a good playoff run. That's great. But what did he do regular season? He didn't do that much. And you can say, well, Kevin Love was out there taking the most of
minutes. Ain't that when you're supposed to show up? Don't we say all the time, you got to show up come playoff time?
Okay.
Listen,
but did he show up $80 million worth? Did he show up $80 million
yes.
worth? No, he did not.
Yes. He gave me $80 million reasons to know that Kevin Love and Anderson Varejao are going to miss the majority of the season, and hopefully not the important part. But if they do, you're going to need Tristan Thompson. It's like car insurance, man. When you get in a wreck and you don't have it, you go to jail, you do some time, you pay a fine. It's good to have car insurance just in case your car breaks down. I mean, just in case you get in an accident, you got the car insurance to get the rental car. You got to pay. If you want the really good car insurance, oh, man, you get the rental car. You got the gap insurance. Oh, man, they give you the money. Let's say you still got a couple payments, they finish it off for you.
Some high-dollar car insurance when I can buy some Progressive and do the same thing as your State Farm do, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why I'm saying.
It ain't the same.
You gotta buy that gap insurance. I don't need gap insurance.
He's not worth that much money. You know, we ran considerably over, huh? We ran considerably over today, but it was worth it because you disrespected Tristan Thompson. But I just want to say, great show. I appreciate everybody listening, man. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Sports Fiends. Look us up. Check us out. Follow. Tell your friends and family about us. Tell your mama about us. Tell your little baby, your little cousin. Make everybody follow us, man. Peace and love. Lance, tell them peace.
We'll talk to y'all later. We out.
We out.